and then going to bed. Boy, that is it. But I certainly identify with what he's saying. My wife has threatened to turn the news off in our house. Because, I mean, I'm getting there and I'm steaming. And, you know, I'm ready to go to battle just watching the news. It's ridiculous. And I appreciate his point. You know, we need to back off and trust God and just do what we can. I think for 2 weeks, past 2 weeks, introduction to the message has been imagine. Didn't Mr. Elliott say imagine your treasure? What would you really imagine to be a great treasure? And then last week, Sean was talking about imagine a world, you know, under peace or in peace. Now, I believe last Sabbath was the anniversary of John Lennon's assassination. I believe, I never thought of it, but I think it's December 9th. And so I was thinking, I'm not good at coming up with original stuff. So I thought, well, I'll use imagine. It sounds okay. Nobody was run off the stage. There wasn't any apples thrown. So imagine a world where people did not lie. I mean, if you think about it, lying. I've been going through the Ten Commandments, each one, and now I'm at you shall not bear false witness. I've seen Psychology Today studies show that the average person lies several times a day. Now, surely that's an exaggeration, but it's probably not that far off. Because a lot of lies, people don't even comprehend it as a lie. You know, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fantastic. You know, and they're about to keel over. You know, well, would that really be a lie? I wouldn't want to pick on that. You know, they're trying to be polite and not burden people with all their illnesses. But what if nobody lied? What about the movies? The agenda that is projected through movies and television is a lie. That's what really gets to me is the agenda. Just entertain me. If I'm going to go to a movie, just entertain me. Don't preach to me, okay? Don't have your agenda. Advertising, I remember so many years ago, well, it was a long time ago, I was still in school, and our business teacher saying, he's talking about being a success in business, you know, build a better than average product, have a better than average price, and advertise your weakest point. Advertise your weakest point. And I thought, yeah, because at that time there was an automobile company advertising how great their door latches were. They had these new door latches, and man, this was a big safety, but when there was an impact, their doors flew open. That was their weakest point, so they made a point of advertising it. So when it happened, everybody would say, man, that must have really been a bad wreck. Because you know those are the best doors. You know, I think that was his point. Advertise your weakest point. So advertising, as you know, there's a lot of lies there. And if there was no lies, how many lawsuits would there be? A lot less. I want to read from a book called Lying by Sam Harris. He says, most forms of private vice and public evil are kindled by and sustained by lies. If you think about it, so many of the evils are connected to lying. Acts of adultery and other personal betrayals, financial fraud, government corruption, even murder and genocide generally require a general moral defect, a willingness to lie. Now, genocide, we've seen that. It's going on right now in the Middle East. seen an article where there are several thousand Christian men, what you know the world considers Christian, because they have the Bible, and you know for what they know, they try to do, have been killed, and the women taken as slaves. In Africa, slavery's revived again, and this because of lies about people, and hatred is spread. You know, there it is. It has such effect. But what does God say about lying? I guess my title would be, "What's so terrible about lying?" If you turn on a TV show, I forget what they're called. You know, they're just entertaining about a family. They're packed with lies. These people lie to one another. And it seems so good. It seems like the right thing to do. So I would go to Exodus 20 and verse 16. Exodus 20, a short command. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Shall not bear. The word bear there, as I looked it up, just in Strong's 6030, the eye or the heed, to eye or to heed, to pay attention, to respond, to begin to speak, to announce, to give account. In other words, to give account. If you're going to give account, be sure it's correct and right. And then false. It's an untruth by implication. And that is so much going on now. Implication between politicians, implying evil or implying that they stand for something that's not really true. It's a sham, a deceit, false lying. Untruth by saying or by implication. Also, I won't turn to Deuteronomy 5, but again, repeat. In verse 20, it's a little different word for false, but it even seems stronger. A sense of desolating, evil, destructive, ruin, deception. God says we shouldn't be indulging in that. And then a witness is a testimony, a recorder. So if you want to, if you're going to be a witness, be sure you record correctly. Well, brethren, lying is the invention of that evil one. As far as can find, Satan invented that to destroy the potential sons of God. He has a reason. We won't turn there, but through lies and insinuation, he drew off a third of the angels in heaven. The purpose is to cause people to remain in ignorance of God's purpose. Does Satan use lying to destroy? He makes a lie sound like the truth. He also mixes some truth with a lie. Be believed, you got to mix some truth in it. You know, say there's an eagle over your head right here. You think, well, there's no eagle in here. Left off, there's an eagle outside over your head. So you know you can leave out things and deceive, and that's what Satan, of course, does. In Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3. Shall we go back there? Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning. See, he's very cunning. Any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden of Eden? See how he begins to set her up. Begins to set her up so she will give the answer he's looking for. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Here we see the serpent in verse 4. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Straight lie. He was going to go ahead and throw doubt on God's word. You shall not die. And verse 4, you shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, there was some truth there. You will be like God, and you'll know good and evil. But, of course, he was showing her a shortcut to that. Bypass God's way and just eat the fruit. Just go ahead and eat the fruit. Yeah, my doctor told me, well, you need to get your heart rate up to 185 beats a minute for 30 minutes a day. I say, man, that's not my lifestyle. Or you can take this pill and get it down. You can do it the easy way. And I realize some people can't get cholesterol down. That's what I hear. But, you know, there's a shortcut. Satan offered the shortcut to deceive her mind. You know, through lying, he covers up God's purpose for mankind. That's really what's in his mind, to cover up God's purpose in people's mind. I will turn to 1 John chapter 3. He said, you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. Just a little part of the story, isn't it? 1 John, where is it? John chapter 3. I will go ahead and begin in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. Well, Satan is covering that truth up and disguising it through lies. Just manipulating, insinuating, slandering, and lies. So here's a great truth. And how many in this world understand that we are to be the children of God? I mean, the very family, the species. I don't think it's people grasp it at all. In Psalm 17, verse 17. See, that's the power of a lie. How destructive it is. It's very evil. And we'll see that God hates that. Psalm 17, verse 15. See, here's the truth. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. See, there's something else there. I will see your face in righteousness. I'm not just going to take a bite of the apple and I'm there. No, there's something else involved. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. How many understand that in this world? All the conflict in the Middle East, does either side understand that? The leadership in the United States understand that? That I'll awake in your likeness? That I'll be like, will be like our Creator God? No, Satan is responsible for this false religion, which could be called Christianity, among many others. But he has blinded the truth of one of the most important things that God would have his people to know. Let's look at John chapter 8. Look at John in chapter 8 in verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me." That very God sent him. That very essence of God was put in the womb of Mary. Christ willingly, that position in the God family to be born as a human. But going on, but anyway, the Father sent him. That was what they decided from the foundation of the world. In verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil." Now, Satan wasn't literally the physical father of these Pharisees. No, he meant spiritually. You know, your father spiritually is that evil one. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. See, the desires of your father you want to do. Do we want to do the desires of our father? See, we do. You know, but we have to contend with the evil one and the world that we find ourselves in. But see, so many, their father spiritually is the evil one. Hopefully we will always be following our Father spiritually that has begotten us with his very spirit. You want to do what your father does. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. No, he doesn't stand in the truth. God stands in the truth. He doesn't, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. What kind of lies he told the angels, what the slander was or what. But we read about his situation with the first human beings on earth. But he is covering up the tremendous truth of what our potential is through lies, through deceptions. I heard a story, and I don't know who originated it. I've never found an author. But it's the story of a painter who was painting a masterpiece. He was painting the background. I'm not an artist. I have a son-in-law that is. And they start out, they got this background, apparently. You know, it's all the colors. And he just was painting the background. And a friend comes in. And the painter says, "Look at my masterpiece." The friend looks at it and says, "It doesn't look like much to me. I just see a bunch of color." And then the artist says, "Oh, I forgot. You're seeing it as it is now. And I see it as what it will be." And that's why we're being, could say, painted. And Satan, the accuser, saying, "Look at that. That doesn't look like anything. They're not anything. Look at that." No, but God sees us as we will be, and Satan, his efforts is to close the minds and even distract our mind from a tremendous truth and through lying and what he has done. See, through half-truth and lies, Satan is using people to destroy people. doesn't have the authority to just come down and say, well, I'm going to wipe out that church in Oklahoma City today. No. He wipes out through other people. Remember, Satan mixes truth in with lies. Or who's going to believe it if he doesn't? No, through half-truth and lies, Satan is using people to destroy people. I didn't need you to read that anyway. I was going to. Proverbs chapter 16. Psalms, Proverbs 16. In verse 28, a perverse man sows strife. Now, how do you sow strife? If you're planting a garden or you're planting your thing, what do? You plant seeds. You don't see anything right then, do you? It has come up. Perverse man sows strife. He's putting down the seeds that will grow into that strife. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. A whisperer. Start whispering. You start listening if you're the other people. Right? And once you start whispering, why are you whispering? Are you trying to hide something? No. A whisper separates best of friends. You know, I heard this. Or I heard that. Sure enough, it might be true, too. It says it separates close friends. I can just imagine Satan and how he spread his discord and rebellion, you know, maybe kind of one person at a time. You know, God knows that, you know. You know what his plan is? Here we are, we're all powerful, and he's got a plan to make people out of dust. I don't know what he thought. Like I say, I'm imagining that. I didn't prove it for anything. But that's kind of the way things can go. Let's look at Psalms 15. If you remember at the feast, Mr. Kubik made a whole sermon just about on those few verses. Five verses. You shall abide in your tabernacle or your house, or who will dwell in your holy hill? And he goes on verse 2, who walks uprightly and works righteousness. No, it's not just a bite of an apple. It's just not taking a pill. There's things that we have to do. And speaks the truth in his heart. In his heart, he speaks the truth. Comes from within. You know, Jesus said, what's in a man's heart is what comes out. He speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue. We should be thinking of good things. Nor does evil to his neighbor. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. Who does not slander? And who is the slanderer? Well, we know. It's that evil one. You know, how does that evil one come across? How did he come across to Eve? He didn't scare her. She wasn't afraid. He just eased up there, you know, like a serpent. Just kind of eased up. Well, hey, how you doing? How's God treating you? You know, whatever he said. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I said at the beginning, imagine. So I'm up here running my imagination. What might happen? Which I have no proof anything like that happened. But Satan knew how to get to a human being. And when you learn how to get to a human being, that seems that other human beings work that way, that when they work on other people. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now, for the third time, I'm ready. Yeah, I think I'm right. No, I'm 12. I may begin in verse 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. See, there's deceit. It's got to be in there. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So he doesn't come as a big, bad dragon. He comes as a good guy. Comes the angel of light. You know, James said, don't speak evil of one against another. But Satan, he comes as a nice guy, but he's using deceit, he's using lies and deception. And God says, you shall not bear false witness. Hides of a lie in a mask of truth. This is the truth. He's an angel of light. He comes in the truth. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Well, that's true. Away with God's law, and he nailed it to the cross. So got the truth. Well, yeah, that's true. Believe in the Lord. Yeah, I read it right there. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And so mankind is able to swallow the rest of the story. I know that Satan has deceived the whole world. So the whole world, and we see that right now it's really escalating into chaos. I don't know if it'll slow down, but if it doesn't, I mean, the world's in big trouble pretty quick, because it is moving fast right now. And our politicians can't agree. They can't recognize the danger and where the danger is. So it's accelerating. Right now, Satan is moving. I feel he's moving very fast. I don't know what caused him to accelerate and de-accelerate. I don't know any of that, but right now it seems like he's certainly moving. So what can we do? So I want you to just, if you, as they say, take away from all of this. I want you to be able to tell the truth, as God says to do. And don't be a tool in Satan's hand. You know, when we get into those things and if we let Satan's influence and we begin to act like Satan, you know, he said, you're of your father, the devil. Because, hey, you're acting like the evil one. Don't be a tool in Satan's hand. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I would like to turn to Revelation chapter 12. Because really who he wants right now is people sitting right here. As it seems he has the Middle East. He has most of the United States. Maybe not as much as he'd like to. He's certainly moving that direction right now. Revelation 12. And I'll read verse 9, maybe through 11. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Is that future? Has happened? Is it going to happen again? Or is it happening? Then I heard a loud voice in verse 10 saying, in heaven. Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God night and day, has been cast down. He's saying, you call that your son? Look at that guy. It's like a blob to me, you know. He doesn't see what God's doing. He does. He doesn't want it to happen. He is the accuser of the brethren. We don't want to be a tool in that. If you would, turn to Titus. Titus, verse 3. Maybe I'll read verse 1 and then go to verse 9. Titus 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Sin, remind the people to be that way, to be subject to rulers and authorities. In verse 9, and avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. In verse 10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So he says to be on guard and don't be that person, being a divisive man, but not to be striving about, you know, there's some things that we just maybe would not agree about, and we can't turn to the Bible and say, you shall not, you know. We just can't, so we don't want to be striving about that. Reject a divisive man. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm not saying that human nature itself wouldn't come up with lying or being deceitful just to cover our own tracks. But there's a great influence on this world, and it could be upon us. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. Worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. You know, it's common, you know, you wink at somebody and you're telling somebody that doesn't understand a big tale. When, you know, everybody's heard the skyhook thing, haven't you? Go get me a skyhook. Maybe it's just a group that I ran with. But they told me to go get a skyhook. You know, I'm 17, 18 years old, lineman putting up poles. We need a skyhook. Oh, what is, how am I going to find that? You know, they're winking. They're having a big time. Somebody looking for a skyhook. Of course, there's no such thing. Well, it was funny, and I guess that was probably harmless, but sometimes more serious things, people, I can see Satan winking as he carries somebody down the trail of destruction. You know, he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers, perversity is in his heart, he devises evil continually, he sows discord. Oh, my. He sows discord. He sows strife. He sows it, and then maybe he waters it and gets it to growing. But he's there. He's sowing it. And then what's it say? These six things the Eternal hates. Yes, seven is an abomination to him. Yeah, seven is an abomination. Well, as far as I can tell, I tried to look this word up and down, and it's something disgusting. Abhorrence, especially idolatry, and most of the time it is used pertaining to idolatry, you know, symbols and statues and idols are an abomination. But this seventh thing, he says, is an abomination. You know, other places, things that are called abomination. I'm not going to turn to these, but Leviticus 18:22, a man laying with a man. He says that's an abomination. Deuteronomy, lying lips are an abomination. Seeing other gods, there in Deuteronomy 13, verse 14, is an abomination. It's the same word. See what it says. Seventh is an abomination. First, he says a proud look, a lying tongue. Yes. Hands that shed innocent blood. All these things he hates. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness, in verse 19, who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. That's an abomination. Brethren, that's an abomination. You can rank that right with the other abominations, you know, that we might think are really bad, that are being promoted right now. You know, we can just turn on over to Proverbs 17:15. Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are alike and an abomination to the Lord. And so it would go to trial and justify a wicked and let them escape justice. That's an abomination. Justifies the wicked. So what can we do? Satan is the original liar, original backbiter. So what can we do? Let's look at Romans chapter 16. I think the apostle Paul gets pretty blunt here. Maybe more than we would be now. Romans 16, verse 17. You brethren, note those who cause division. That means disunion. Dissension, division, sedition. He says, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's where it always, it's for personal gain. It seemed like it always ends there. And by smooth words and flattering speech, does the hearts of the simple, in other words, the simple, the innocent, unsuspecting, flattering speech. You use flattering speech. The unsuspecting, the innocent, are taken in by this kind of talk. The flattering speech. In the past 40-some years of attending church, I have personally, somebody can come and tell me if they've seen different. I have never known a poor speaker who leads people out of the church or astray. Good speakers, powerful, great speakers. I know some, they were my favorite speakers. Got off on something else. Now, the poor speaker could keep people out. They could become so bored they refuse to come to church. There's one leaving now. I'm sorry. No, she needed to go. So, but it does seem like the really attractive, good, you know, people, they're not going to follow the crummy guy, the guy that can't put too many sentences together. You know, that's just been my experience. Someone else might want to come to me later and say, well, I knew this guy. Well, I don't really want to know his name. But so, brethren, what's so terrible about lying? You know, you probably say, I've heard enough about it. But it was invented and originated by that evil one. We need to keep that in mind. This isn't something that came from God. He didn't invent it, and he doesn't like it. Who first used lying? Who first was the backbiter, the slanderer? Who first incited rebellion against God? Is the original accuser. Satan uses lying, half-truth, slander to spread hate and violence in the human race. And we see it. We always bring up the Middle East, but I mean, it goes back, 4,000 years? How many years is it? Am I off there? They seem like it's been, as I remember, it is about 4,000 years ago. But I wasn't alive then, so I wouldn't know. So it's been going on, and it doesn't get better on its own. He uses and inspires lies, slander, misrepresentation to divide, hinder, and destroy God's people and God's work. Every time I've seen a division, a problem within God's people, it starts out that way. I mean, that's just, I just haven't seen it really any other way. And maybe it has been. Because there's always a little bit of truth in it. I mean, who's going to believe a lie without some truth? Fires lies, misrepresentation. But brethren, God stands for the truth. That's where God stands. And we need to stand for the truth. God stands for truth, justice, mercy, faith. That's where he stands. Where does Satan stand? He stands for slander and lying and destruction. So, where do we stand right here today? Where do we stand? Well, God says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And that's where we stand.